Hey everyone, welcome to the Amir Hurwitz podcast show. Today I'm truly honored to have one of the leading journalists in tech, James Spiro, on the show. James is a journalist and editor for CTech by Calcalist and also writes for the Times of Israel. I'm happy to say that I also have a new blog on the Times of Israel, so feel free to check it out. James, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So feel free to tell us about yourself. Who is James Spiro?
You know what? I ask myself that same question every day. I was born and raised in London, and you know, I always had an interest in stories. And it didn't really matter how that story was told or presented. I loved the structure of the beginning, the middle and end, the development and how things change and turn. And I realized that I went through quite a few ways of enjoying these stories, and it was kind of what attracted me to journalism. And, you know, you're living in history in real time, kind of, is how I used to imagine it. So, you know, I played around a lot earlier on in my kind of, in school, in my early career. I did some marketing, I did some PR. It was weird. I was always attracted to journalism, and I did it for my BA at the University of Bedfordshire. But I never really thought I'd go into it as a career. And then the universe kind of just kept on sending me these signs of things would come up and I'd brush it aside, or I'd be attracted to something that I wouldn't quite put my toes in the water. And then a few years ago, I decided, kind of screw it, let's do it. And here I am ever since. I never thought I'd be kind of writing about tech in Israel, having grown up in London as a film nerd, but you know, here we are.
Awesome. So what is your favorite part of being a journalist?
So my favorite part of being a journalist is kind of what I mentioned earlier, which is the story aspect. I love it how things grow and change and develop. And with journalism, there's always kind of a different vantage point to approach, and there's always someone else who has their side of the story about the same thing. So things are never just one-sided, you know, and something that's nice specifically about tech journalism, specifically in Israel anyway, is the kind of support and camaraderie around it. I mean, everyone kind of just wants the best for everyone. It's a really wholesome community and an ecosystem. Everyone wants to be successful, and everyone wants to build the next Facebook or Google, and the kind of sector largely is supportive of that, and I think that's quite nice. And I like seeing the growth of companies and the stories that these companies tell.
Hmm. How does your day look like as a journalist?
So I wake up and I have about 20 news alerts on my phone from various sources and various apps, and I kind of swipe through the boring ones and I kind of open up the interesting ones. I wake up, I have a fairly usual routine. I try to have as much kind of peace as possible before I kind of get going. And one of the ways I do that is I walk my dog. So we wake up in the morning, I make some coffee, I walk around the block, we go to the park, and that's when I focus on kind of listening to music. I don't try to respond to messages or emails right away. I'm just kind of with him, and I'm in my kind of my own head. And then, like a lot of people, I've been working from home for the last year. So I get home, and I was fortunate enough to kind of have a walkable pet this year, but I really used my dog Tom to bookend my day. Mm-hmm. So I don't do any work before I walk him, and I don't do any work after I walk him, except for emergencies. But he's the kind of bookend of my day. Once we get home, we sit. And, you know, one of the things about being a journalist is that in recent years anyway, there's been a big change in the amount of journalists there are, the amount of PR professionals there are. So there's been this shift where, and I'm one of the rare few ones, but, you know, you go from, a lot of people are moving from journalism to PR. So you get a lot of people emailing you, kind of fighting for your attention and finding the stories of that day. And one of the things that I like about being a journalist is that every day it's a new story. I never know what I'm going to write about. I never know who I'm going to meet. And that goes on, and things kind of come into my inbox, and I look at the story and I think, do I want to speak to this CEO? What does this founder have to say? What story are they trying to tell? What story do I want to tell? What do my readers want to hear? And that's kind of, that's how the day goes.
Do you have a certain amount of articles that you need to be to publish in a day or something, like some sort of specific number?
So yeah, I really couldn't do what I do with without the wonderful team at CTEC. I kind of want to shout out to them. There's like a bunch of great people there. There's Ron, there's Ellie Hay, there's Alon in your feet, and kind of all of us kind of work really hard to bring the best possible content. CTEC was kind of born as an English alternative to Kalkalist, and Kalkalist is one of Israel's leading Hebrew written newspapers or online papers. And so what we try to do is we try to either translate those stories from Hebrew content and kind of Israeli audiences, and we try to globalize it, and we translate it into English, and we send it out to American audiences or British audiences. We aim for, I'll write anything between kind of 3 and 5 stories a day. I mean, today I wrote 3 stories, but I was also working on a backlog because I'd taken some time off. I was fortunate enough to kind of get out of the city in the 3 days that I could. But CTEC generally, we aim for about 10 or 12 pieces a day, and that really couldn't be done without the stellar management. It helps kind of.
So how long does it take you to write an article per se?
So it depends on the type of article, and it depends on the depth in which you go. So if it's a funding, and CTEC tends to be very popular, or the readers tend to find funding announcements on CTEC very popular. People love to know what's happening in the ecosystem, basically what's making money, what's being bought and sold, where the venture capitalists are looking. Funding announcements do very well, and appointments do very well. It's when we write about new management, it's when we write about changing in CEOs. Those stories generally don't take much time. They take up to kind of half an hour, 45 minutes. You might hop on the call with someone, you might get an exclusive quote. There are some longer stories that I tackle, which they tend to tackle less about news itself, but about an idea. So I might talk about something like social media. I might talk about the laws that are kind of restricting social media or restricting perceived hate speech or perceived free speech. That's when I really try and take my time and I do a lot of research. I will speak to lawyers or futurists, and I'll speak to other leaders in industries. And that can take about a week. You know, I can work about a week on that. Something that I find, and this is just my own personal way of working, is that I speak to a lot of people every day, but I'm someone who my reading and writing is a lot stronger than my speaking and listening. So, you know, I could sit there and write and scribble down notes while I'm speaking to someone, but what I really want to do is give them my full attention when I'm speaking. So actually what I do is I spend time kind of out of work, literally transcribing every single interview that I do. And something that I, and these interviews go on, some of them are 15 minutes and some of them are an hour. But I sit, I have a software, it's called InkScribe. You can do everything on the keyboard. And I sit and I type and I read out, and this is 5 or 6 pages of transcripts. And that's when I look and I say, right, what did they say? When did they say it? And for me, that's where the story comes from.
That's amazing. So you recommend the app?
Yeah, so it's a free software that anyone who's in writing or transcription can download. It's I think it's like a freemium service. So you can download the free sample and then you can buy the license for more skills.
Nice. So you have so many PR agents, you know, calling you all day long, you know, calling you probably on, leaving text messages probably on your cell phone and emails and everything. How do you differentiate between like a good story and a not so good story? Like, where are the 3 main, you know, aspects that you look in? Okay, this is going to be a great story. This one I can probably let go of.
So it often depends on what you're doing on that day. So sometimes I'll have 3 or 4 different stories that I'm balancing, and I'm planning interviews for other people, and I'm transcribing the interviews from a few days ago. And there's just a lot on a plate, as any human has kind of work on their plate. That's when I'll get an email in and I'll think, oh, that's a good story. Let me put that aside. And I want to say this to every single PR person. We do read the pitches. We do put them aside if we want to. We want to write them. If we like them, we want to write them. And sometimes I say that. I say, look, I just can't. I don't have the bandwidth to take this on right now. And this is something I had to learn a bit early on, is that you can't respond to everyone. You get so many emails in your day. You can't treat everyone. You can treat everyone nicely, but you can't respond to every email, is what I'm trying to say. And it sucks. And it's something I had to learn, because I hate not responding. And I hate not giving people an answer, but it can be quite overwhelming to tackle a lot of these things. So that's what I would say. As kind of some free advice for PR people. I was once on a call similar to kind of what we're doing now, and I once received an email, and then I received a WhatsApp following up on the email, and then a phone call following up on the WhatsApp and following up on the email within about 20 minutes. And I was like, okay, take a breath. But that's part of it, you know, like as technology grows, you have more ways that you can be contacted. And it's a thin line on how to kind of best balance those.
So you're obviously an exceptional writer, you know, both in articles, blogs. I really, really enjoy your writing. What steps did you take to, you know, to get to this kind of level? And what steps are you taking, you know, to increase, to get better? Like, what are your main writing tips?
So that's very flattering. Thank you. But behind every good writer is a great editor. So you've got to give a shout out there to the silent editors who read every piece of work and make them better. Look, I started writing at a young age. I was that kid that was 9 years old that was typing away on like a very, very old laptop that had been passed down from an older sibling or an older cousin. And I was writing really while everyone else was kind of kicking footballs. I would say just always write. And it's something that, you know, maybe it's a bit different nowadays, maybe times are changing, but I was a big believer when I was younger in kind of throwing content out there. Now, I would do it anywhere I could. I would write to any publication and I'd say, I would love just to give you a blog post. Here's something I've written, it's all yours. Do with it what you want, just please give me a byline, or please put my name in the text. I don't even need to have a WordPress account or anything, just put my name in there. And I was doing that for many years. I was throwing content out to these places that were taking op-eds or taking think pieces, because they need the content just as much as you want to give it. So it's a great relationship. And that's all I'd say, and kind of listen to editors, because you don't want to be too emotionally involved in your work and in your words. And sometimes things aren't clear. And sometimes things need to be explained, or you may be coming something from that end, but people are coming out from different end. But to kind of hone in the writing skills, you need to basically do what I'm not doing now, which is to stay concise. And just try to make it as clear as possible for the reader. Or emotional, depends what you want.
Who are some of your favorite writers? It can be, you know, fiction writers. It could be, you know, journalists, screenwriters. I know you're a big film fan. Me as well.
So yeah, no, thank you. So I'm actually not much of a fiction writer. Fiction reader. I'm not much of a fiction reader. I like to my fiction that I consume. I like to do that in the cheesiest ways possible, which is kind of the Netflix shows and the Marvel films and you know, the sitcoms. That's the fiction that I like to consume. In terms of writing, there's one author who, he can publish his shopping list and I'll buy it and read it. And that's Mitch Albom. So Mitch Albom, he wrote things like Tuesdays with Morrie, The Five People You Meet in Heaven, The Magic Strings of Frankie Presto. I mean, for me, he's my favorite fiction writer, but he also does this amazing thing where he comes from a journalism background. So he blends nonfiction and fiction together in these, for me, they're the most marvelous stories. He's definitely one of my favorite writers. In terms of more nonfiction, I really loved the work from Ryan Holiday. So Ryan Holiday writes a lot about growth hacker marketing. He writes about stoicism a lot. And he wrote a book a few years ago called Conspiracy, which was the amazing untold story of how Peter Thiel took down Gorka through Hulk Hogan, the Hulk Hogan case that bankrupted Gorka. Ryan Holiday is the kind of perfect person to tell that story. So I love his work as well. And who else? Those are the two that really stick out to me for now.
Yeah, Ryan Holiday is amazing. He's an amazing writer. He's an amazing speaker. I love enjoying his podcast as well. You know, I think this really takes us to my next subject that I wanted to ask you. So as a journalist, how do you relax? Because we talked about Ryan Holiday. Ryan Holiday is a big fan of Stoicism, right? It's a good way to look at things. It's a good philosophy. Is that also something that you adapt, you know, personally?
So I try. I really, really try. And I'm very aware that being Stoic is not something that naturally comes to me. It's not a quality in me that's very natural. It's something that I really strive to be. I really think there's something nice about kind of being able to calmly take on any challenge and be the kind of rock in the water when the wave comes. And so one of the things I think that he does, I don't want to speak for him, but one of the things I've seen that he reports on is he goes a lot of runs and he swims. And something that I do when the gyms were open is I would swim. For me, that's my favorite thing to do because I'm on my own. My phone is locked away. I have no music. I have no podcasts. I have no calls, texts. It's just me completely underwater. And I'm going up and down. I don't need to think about what I'm doing. I just do it. And wow, that's when my mind goes. And that's when I think, okay, what did I write today? And what do I want to write tomorrow? And what film do I want to watch? What do I want to have for dinner? It's kind of like for me, it's a way of kind of dreaming while awake. So for me, swimming is the way that I relax. Obviously, for the last kind of year, I haven't been able to do that very easily. So I go on walks. That's the alternative. It's a bit more tricky because my phone is with me. But I really like to go on walks. I like to kind of get my blood pumping around the body.
That's great advice. And I think the audience can really benefit from also reading Ryan Holiday's books and also taking some time for yourself and figuring out what's the best way for you to, you know, relax and depress. And I think that's very important. Where do you think modern journalism is going, right? With social media now being such a big thing, with digital media in general, it feels like the news are more headlines based and not as in depth as it was. Where do you think modern journalism is going?
Yeah, look, obviously it's really tough. It's challenging because people are sharing articles that they're not necessarily reading and they're only clicking on things that have these sensational headlines. As a rule of thumb, generally, and I learned this quite early on in my career, if there's ever a question in the headline, it means the answer is no. So it's like a really nice, if you want to avoid clicking on these clickbait articles and they say, is so-and-so doing this? The answer is no. that's some free advice. But from what I'm seeing, it's super interesting. I mean, we could talk for ages about how kind of trust in the media is at an all-time low. Everyone has a reason why they think that, and everyone has experiences that they believe represent that. I think that people are losing trust. I don't think they're losing trust in journalists. I think they're losing trust in institutions. And we're seeing trust in institutions crumbling. And that can be in the media, or it can be in our politicians. It can be in our school systems. It could be in our police. There are a lot of institutional problems that people believe exist in the world. And one of the ways I think that media can combat that is by being, people are more likely to read from specific writers and journalists than ever before. Mm-hmm. So you and I just spoke about Ryan Holiday. Now, if he writes something for, let's say, the Wall Street Journal, or he writes something for USA Today, or anyone, if any one writer writes for anything, we're going to follow where the writer goes. And I think that what the media is, I think where the media is heading and where journalism is heading is that people are going to be following people and not publications. And we're seeing that already with platforms like Substack, which I don't use yet, but it's one of my New Year's resolutions, although I'm a bit late. It's a kind of premium not premium, sorry, freemium. It's a freemium. You start off free and you pay for these extra services where you sign up for newsletters. And what journalists are doing is they're saying, guys, give me, you know, $3 or $4 a month, $5 a month, and get a newsletter from me once a week. And the hope is that thousands of people ultimately sign up to these newsletters. And so what people will end up doing is they'll be going to people who, let's be honest, they have a lot more on the line in terms of their credibility. You know, if my name's on an article, it doesn't matter what the publication is. I want that article to be truthful. I want it to be accurate. I want it to be fair. And I think that's where people are going. People are going to be going to people and not publications.
That's a great point. You know, with like everybody, we see it in advertising as well, that the personal brand is so strong, right? When you have your personal brand is in times much stronger than the company's brand, you really, they get the headlines more than their companies do sometimes. And it affects directly their companies and the way people treat their companies and the way people write about them. That's a great point. My last question for you today is, what books do you recommend that have really, you know, helped you both as a writer? And you mentioned some books before, but also like that helped you know spiritually in the mindfulness sense.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, look, I'm somewhat of a binge reader. So what happens is I won't read for a few months, and then what I'll do is I'll read like a book in 2 or 3 days, and I'll read 10 of them kind of in a row, and then I won't touch a book for another 2 or 3 months. So some of the books I've read kind of in the last year are. I try to read nonfiction books that kind of open up my mind to ideas or themes. So one of them I have to start off by mentioning is The Four by Scott Galloway. He wrote a great takedown of Apple, Amazon, Google, and Facebook. And he writes about each one of them and their impact on all of us and the world. And I think that kind of in this current culture of fake news or big data and the Netflix Social Dilemma film, a lot of people are suddenly realizing what is happening and what these companies are capable of. So I think I would definitely recommend The Four. A second one is Bad Blood, which is the book about Theranos. It's I think the whole the subheading is Bad Blood, Secrets and Lies in a Silicon Valley Startup. I had to write it down. I don't want to misquote it, but I read it recently. It's a great book by John Carreiro. He's a writer from the Wall Street Journal. He wrote the whole history and collapse of Theranos, the startup that kind of frauded a bunch of people. And that was just a great read. I wish that I could write a book like that one day. That's kind of what the hope is. The last one I'm going to go for, I picked out three, is Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. So this is a book where, you know, he's a Holocaust survivor. He writes powerfully and truthfully about his experience in Auschwitz and how it impacted him. And I just think that it's a pretty profound book, and it shows the strength of humans and kind of how we fight every day. And there was one story that he mentioned in it that I kind of want to share, which is there are two types of people in this world. The first one, it's like if we all have these sticky notes, you know, and every single day you jot down something that you've done in the day and you put it aside. There are two types of people. One person will look at the shrinking number of stickies and he'll think, oh my God, I'm running out of days. I'm running out of stickies. What am I doing? I'm not doing anything. And he's looking at all of them running out. The other person will look back and what he'll see is this pile of big stickies with memories and feelings and lessons and emotions and accomplishments. So you can either be someone who anxiously looks ahead, or you can be someone to kind of look back and think about what you've done and accomplished and grow from there. So that was one of the main lessons I took from that. And I think for me, those are the three books that I really, really enjoy.
Those are amazing books, and I hope the audience can get a chance to read them. James, thank you so much, man, for taking the time. I highly appreciate it. Keep up the amazing work, you know, with CTech, with the Times of Israel, with your LinkedIn posts as well. Keep doing really your amazing work, and I'm glad we have very talented journalists in our country like you. So thanks, man.
Thank you very much.